This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Earlene McMichael. Did you know downtown Kalamazoo is home to the nation's first property financed and built by and for a woman's group? The Ladies Library Association building turns 140 years old this year and will be open for tours during the June 7th Art Hop. I sit down with Association President Janet Heller to talk about its history. Welcome back to WMUK.
Thank you very much.
And congratulations on 140 years of the Ladies Library Association building.
We're really proud of that.
What is quite amazing is that building is on the National Register of Historic Places. It was completed in 1879, and my understanding is it is the first property in the United States to be financed and built by and for a women's group. It didn't easily come about. Can you tell me the history of that?
Well, the land was donated by our treasurer at the time, Ruth Webster. So we were very lucky that she owned downtown property. And we were built before the Civic Theater. So if you look at early pictures of the Ladies' Library, the block looks very different because there's no Civic Theater and there's a lot more empty space. But our treasurer also loaned money at interest to the husbands of Ladies' Library Association members. And she also made sure that if you checked out a book from the Ladies' Library and it was overdue, you paid your overdue fines. So she generated a lot of money from her wise way of managing our economics. And so she generated enough money for us to build the Ladies' Library, plus members' dues and various other fundraisers that we had. We're really proud of having done this ourselves.
Women being able to build a building, it required some special permissions. Can you talk about that?
Yes, there were various legal restrictions on what women could do at the time, and we got special permission from the state of Michigan to build the building. In general, men were more accepted as being in a financial position to do things like this. So there were restrictions on what women could do, and so we did need special permission to get our building built.
You had to go to the state legislature.
Yes.
To put it in perspective, your building was completed in 1879. Women didn't get the right to vote till 1920. The Ladies' Library Association, it started as a sewing circle in and around 1844. Then you organized yourself into something a little bit different in 1852. Can you tell me about the mission of the organization at that time and how it's evolved over the years?
Yes, we began as a book reading and sewing circle. Today it would be like a book club, probably. And many avenues of higher education were closed to women at the time. Women could not be students at many colleges and universities. It's very different today, of course. But the Ladies' Library Association served the purpose of providing a format for higher education for women. We offered a lot of educational programs. Plays were put on at the Ladies' Library. There were book discussion groups. We had a lecture series. We had musical concerts. Just all sorts of wonderful experiences for women who were barred from most colleges and universities in the 1870s when we were built, and when our building was built. And so we were officially established as an organization in 1852.
One of the early things that your organization did is it had a lending library, a circulating library. Isn't it Kalamazoo's first lending library, or is it even, I'm told, even the region's first one? Which one is it?
Yes, we were the first lending library in Southwest Michigan.
It even predates the Kalamazoo Public Library,
exactly.
All of them.
We're very proud that we saw early the need to provide books to the public and opened our doors in that way. So we provided a very important educational function for people who lived in Southwest Michigan.
Did people have to be a member of your group at that time to use some of those books?
I don't think so. You do now. The way we have it set up now, if you want, we have a small circulating library now of more recent books, and the older books we don't have in circulation anymore because many of them are more fragile, these books from the 1800s. But if you enter the ladies' library, you can see just bookcases and bookcases of the original books from the 1800s in the ladies' library.
Your mission is to enrich the community through literacy, arts, and culture, and to preserve the ladies' library building and history. Has that changed over time?
The mission has stayed the same, but the formats in which we explore this have changed. For example, one of our most successful programs is Books for Babies. Members give donations of new or gently used books or make a monetary donation so we can purchase new books, and then we donate these to local organizations that serve families who don't have a lot of funds. And in some cases, these families have been evicted from their homes and the kids don't have any books of their own. So it's very important, teachers have told me, and psychologists have told me, for kids to have books in their home and to be committed to reading at a young age. One of our members, Sharon Cross, coordinates this program. And this spring, we gave out over 800 books to different social service organizations and institutions that help needy families.
You've been listening to Janet Heller, president of the Ladies Library Association of Kalamazoo, talk about the 140th anniversary of the group's building. The other thing I should point out is that your association is one of the first women's clubs organized in Michigan and believed to be one of the third in the nation to be organized. Your building. It is a lovely red brick building right behind the Kalamazoo Civic Theater. People look at it, and if you have no reason to go in there, you don't quite know what's in there, but it looks quite beautiful. Can you describe what's inside and the architecture?
We're often open to the public. For example, during the art hops, we'll be open for the art hop in early June, June 7th. That evening from 5 to 8, and we'll also be open the next day for the art show and the other Jubilee festivities. But the building is just gorgeous. Our members and the architects designed a building that's just, it just has so many visual treats. There are original tiles as you enter on the floor that were quite expensive at the time, but the members wanted it, and it's just really lovely tile. And you can't find that sort of stuff these days. It has to be specially made. It's not the sort of thing that you can pick up in any store. The woodwork is just gorgeous all throughout the building. And they're just lovely touches, like some of the ceilings have little gold stars. There's sort of the starry sky theme. The floors are original. Many of the furnishings are original. We still have our original gargoyle is sort of a lovely touch. It's a drainage feature for the building. But it also is spectacularly grotesque and fascinating. There are lovely high ceilings, a lovely winding staircase with wooden banisters and other features going up to our second floor. And we did something new in 2013. We put on a fully accessible addition that has super large bathrooms and an elevator, and we have a rear entrance now that is completely barrier free, so that anyone, regardless of his or her level of mobility, can enter and use our building. And I'm really proud that we did that.
And the style, my understanding, is Venetian Gothic. Is
yes,
that the style of the building? How long did it take to build it?
They started in 1878 and finished in 1879, which is pretty quick considering it's a two-story building.
What made the group decide even to have a building? Was membership growing, or did you feel you needed a place to place the books?
We'd had various We started meeting in people's homes, but then as we grew, that became more difficult. And for a while, we had some space in the city hall, but then they needed that for other purposes. So we decided that we needed our own home. And it was a very risky but very wise decision for our members to make in the 1870s, to decide that rather than being moved from one temporary home to another, that the organization would flourish if we had a permanent building.
Can people rent out your building?
Yes, yes. Many people have weddings there, birthday parties. Many groups rent it for special dinners or fundraisers. Some people use it for recitals, just about anything.
How many square feet do you have, approximately?
Oh, you need to ask our Ways and Means person, Barbara Baker. She knows all of these details. She coordinates all of the okay. all of the rentals. I knew I should have brought her
no
along
problem.
Today.
How many rooms do you have, approximately?
Okay, well, upstairs we have our Richmond Auditorium, mm-hmm. which has a stage. So if you want to do a piano recital or a dance recital or a wedding, the stage is sort of nice. And then we have very comfortable chairs up there. The downstairs is very beautiful, too. We have our upstairs there are also dressing rooms for the people, say, involved in a wedding party or for musicians to change out of their street clothes and into their tuxes or whatever they want to wear for a performance and to tune up and stuff. So then downstairs we have our main sort of living room area with very high ceilings, and all over the building they're really quite good acoustics. So it works very well for music or celebrations or dance or whatever people want to do.
And there's lots of ways. I know you talked about the Art Hop, that people can come in and they can see the building. But you do a number of programs where you bring in speakers, you bring in presenters, and the public is invited to that. And there's usually a cost associated with that. If people want to join, you have to be a woman, right? And 18 and older. And then there's dues that you pay every year. What's the future plans for the Ladies Library Association?
We have commissioned a stained glass window to commemorate 100 years of women's having the right to vote in 2020. We just had a big competition. We haven't had a new stained glass window in a long time, so we decided we would put it in the addition upstairs. We're not supposed to alter the original building because it is an historic site. So there are laws that you're not supposed to, like, tear down walls or, you know, replace original windows. But in the addition, we have more freedom because that's not dating back to 1879. That's 2013. And we put that on for more practical reasons in terms of accessibility. So we're taking on the second floor the eastern window. Will have the new design, which was done by a local woman artist. Her name is Snedies Jansen Rungus, and she won our stained glass window competition. We got 11 designs from local women artists, and I was on the committee that chose the four finalists. It was chaired by our past president, Marge Kars. And then all of our members voted on which designs were their favorites, and Cindy's design won, and she's very excited.
What was special about that particular selection?
We really felt that it fit the ladies' library. She shows a very confident woman, and she has symbols. There are little bees to indicate, you know, hard work and dedication. And also, it reflects our starry sky motif. There are stars there. Her design is called Through Hardship to the Stars. And for us, that really fit what we're trying to do with the Ladies Library, to expand the horizons of individuals in our area and to provide all sorts of support so that people can fulfill their dreams.
My understanding is that your organization really promotes literacy and adult education. Is there any other areas you see yourself branching into, or that will continue to be your focus moving forward?
Yes, it is. We work with a lot of local groups. I mentioned the Books for Babies program, but we also work with Read and Write Kalamazoo. Give them donations. Sometimes we'll provide notebooks for all of the young people who do the reading and writing there. We also donate to Western's program, the CETA Scholars, who have graduated out of foster care. We help provide them with supplies.
And that's at Western Michigan University?
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. We help provide them with supplies they'll need in their dorm rooms that they probably don't already have. And we support all sorts of local organizations that encourage literacy in young people and adults.
Janet Heller, president of the Kalamazoo Ladies Library Association, thank you for joining us today on WMUK.
Thank you for inviting me.
The Ladies Library Association of Kalamazoo, it'll be open for tours during the June 7th Art Hop. West Southwest is produced by WMUK, the public radio station licensed to Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo. You can subscribe to the podcast through Apple iTunes and Google. There, you can leave a rating and a review. For WMUK's West Southwest, I'm Arlene McMichael.